I'm Alex.
And I'm Rob.
I'm from Novi Sad, Serbia.
And I'm from New York City.
I'm a Scorpio.
I'm a Taurus.
I'm a man.
And I'm a woman.
We are both very different.
And yet, we have a lot to talk about. Before we get into everything, maybe I should start with a history lesson for all those people who may not be familiar with astrology or wondering how it's possibly credible. And so with that, I'm going to be referencing the book The Secret Language of Astrology by Roy Gillette, I don't know, something like that. Which, this is a great book. It's really great for beginners who don't know anything about astrology, and it has a really great little background section about where astrology came from. So let me open up the book here. I feel like I'm reading to toddlers because Alex is looking at me over video call and I'm reading from a book.
Anyways,
so astrology can go as far back as 350,000 BC. And then it was very present throughout the world until around the start of the Roman Empire, where it stopped and, you know, the focus was more Christian. And then, but there were still practicing astrologers, so they kind of were morphing Christianity and astrology, so it was able to kind of survive. And then it made a really strong comeback in the Western world, because obviously in all places like India especially, it has always been practiced. But in the Western culture, it came back with Queen Elizabeth I in the late 1500s. And at the same time, Galileo was alive and researching the stars and such. So as you can see, it's surviving through time, right? And then during the Enlightenment, the practice faded because of rational idealism. Because people started believing in science and they were astrology is just looking at the stars and making stuff up. And then there was a rebirth with the discovery of Neptune, because astrologers were oh my God, we're going to get so much more info now that there's a new planet. But at that same time, Neptune conjuncted with Pluto for the first time in 592 years. So even though they hadn't discovered Pluto yet, astrologers are saying that that is what caused Neptune to be found. So it was written in the stars for us to not know about the planets until that time, which I think is really interesting. Anyway, so then you have, in 1930, R.H. Naylor published the first astro study, which is basically the first horoscope for Princess Margaret when she was born. And then in the 1960s, of course, everybody was really into astrology again. And now we're all obsessed with it. Any thoughts on that, Alex, since I just talked straight for 5 minutes?
Yes, it's amazing. No, when did you start paying attention to astrology in general?
I kind of got into it in college, I think, because I had a friend who was really into astrology, and she was like, what's your sign? And then I sort of just always had a horoscope app on my phone, so then I would use that if I was what should I do for my day? I was kind of using it as a guidepost.
Mm-hmm.
And then I didn't really get into it until a few years ago, actually, when I bought this book. But what about you? What was your introduction into astrology?
I don't know, 15 years ago or something like that. I was always aware of signs and kind of particular traits of signs, and I was always aware of it. But it was not until my colleague from work, he was into astrology, so I guess we started discuss
mm-hmm.
the astrology in general, and then I think he told me to buy a book, mm-hmm. Sun Signs, and it explains every sign, and for every sign it's very funny because it's so accurate, and that's the first thing that I read. So I guess that's the beginning of my journey. I don't know, going into more detail details than before that. But I was always aware of the horoscope. Yeah. Like, it was kind of a topic of, you know, I would always know, like, if my friend is this or my friend is this, you know, that kind of deal. Whereas people are not usually like that. Not
Yeah, exactly. Well, I was just going to say, like, I think most people probably know their sign because they want to, like, read, like, a newspaper horoscope or, like, they have a horoscope app or something. But I think the best part of astrology is actually the more in-depth you go. You recently were explaining to me the actual difference between astrology and astronomy.
Basically, like, astrology is more like view it of stars and planets and kind of influence and the energy of it. But astronomy is more like math, physics, and chemistry, I guess.
Yeah, well, and I guess astrology is more like logic-based.
Yeah.
That's what I would say pretty much is you're using logic based on, you know, the chart is basically a map of probability.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. But some things that we probably won't be talking about today, which really get into, like, the nitty-gritty of astrology, houses, which are, like, will represent what your personal characteristics are. Also, aspects, which are, like, how the planets connect with each other on a chart that you're looking at. So that type of stuff we're not going to be talking about because it's just too complex. But what we will be talking about are planets and the signs. So let's get into it.
So as you already know, because of the of our intro, I'm a Scorpio and Rob is a Taurus.
Yes, exactly.
So what are your thoughts about certain signs? Do you have your favorites and do you have your last favorite sign?
I mean, I think, like, according to, like, what astrologers say, like, what your, like, best match is, a lot of Tauruses tend to like other Tauruses because we're kind of, like, stubborn and we want to be with people that we know because we'll trust them. And if you're a Taurus, you're going to have a similar personality, so you want to be trusting and loyal with somebody that's similar to you. But I personally, I really like, I tend to always have friends who are Virgos. I tend to always have friends who are Pisces. What about you? I mean, you're a Scorpio, so I feel like, because poor Scorpio really has the...
Poor Scorpio.
Yes, because people are always like, Scorpios are evil. It's Gemini and Scorpios, they're always saying are evil. So
That regard, like, poor for... okay, whatever. Every time I... A dime for every time I heard, like, what is your sign? Scorpio. Oh my God, or something like that.
Yeah.
Rarely doesn't happen.
So, like, in that case, who do you find that you end up meshing well with? Like, what signs do you mesh well with?
Scorpios, Tauruses, something else must be there. Cancers, yeah. Which is, all of them are really, like, astrologically speaking, like, that's, like, a most logical, like, you with Virgo, that's, like, a earth sign, so
yeah,
you know. Also, I don't mind Virgo, so I don't mind because my ascendant is Virgo, but I don't know them a lot, especially like, I just met, like, few female Virgos in my life and few male ones, and that's it. Some signs, I must say, I didn't like met properly. I just, like, kind of skipped few of them, so don't have, like, a opinion about.
Did you know that there's certain things that I didn't know going into this episode that I was researching about, that I was like, oh, this is, like, really helping me, like, clarify my understanding of astrology, if you could tell, as I've been going on for, like, hours about just talking about this. But so there's positive and negative polarity with every sign. And what's really interesting is that, so we're both considered a negative sign, and all of the signs that we mentioned are also negative, which I thought was really interesting. So if you're a positive sign, it means that you embrace, and if you're a negative sign, it means that you absorb. Which I, that really stayed with me. So it's like the The other signs, which are Aries, Gemini, Leo, Libra, yeah, Sagittarius, and Aquarius, they like will embrace a group, but the negative signs like Taurus, Cancer, Virgo, Scorpio, Capricorn, and Pisces, which we mentioned Pisces, Cancer, Virgo as people that we like. I also really like Scorpios, by the way, too.
Mm.
They all absorb.
Uh-huh.
It's almost like we wait for someone to come to us versus the other is they embrace it. And of course, the other thing that Alex had mentioned is that there's other elements to each sign. So there's like earth, air, fire, and water. So Scorpio is, what is Scorpio?
Water.
Water. Okay. And Taurus is earth.
Water.
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 Oh, God.
Water.
Ah. There you go, folks. This is Alex and I in normal conversation.
Yeah, water and your earth.
Exactly. Which I don't really know what that means. Like, I'm sure it's in this book that I'm reading. But
you're firmly on the ground, and you like to be. You don't like changing, like we all know. So
yeah, that's true. But then again, what's really interesting about like, when you read your natal chart, which is your birth chart, it's based on your time, location, and date of your birth. That stuff makes it even more complicated because it's like you think that, like Alex thinks that he gets along with Cancers, but if that Cancer's natal chart actually has a bunch of other aspects in it, you know.
Yeah, that's true.
Like signs within that chart. They may be a Cancer, but they may have, like, Gemini all over their chart. So then you're like, I don't like Geminis.
Yeah, that's true.
And stuff like that.
I mean, there are a few notable exceptions, let's say. Or,
yeah.
Let's say few people that I was, like, good with. Thing. I mean, yeah, but generally speaking, yes, it has, like, good vibe. And for some signs, I would be better with women than with men, I guess. Or it was just like a kind of those kind of people came to me. Like skip few signs in terms of like I didn't really mingle with those signs.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's like a Pisces male versus a Pisces female. Completely different personality. Because to me, a Pisces male is kind of like the sad boy quality. No offense to any Pisces out there who are men. But like that's the stereotype, is that they're kind of like the sad boy who's very emotional. Versus females who are Pisces are a lot more outgoing and emotional. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I mean, I didn't paint a lot of female Pisces. I know just a few male Pisces. So, I mean, I cannot compare, but theoretically speaking, a female Pisces would also suit me better than you, I would say, because they're also a water sign, so.
That's really interesting, because I'm pretty sure that for Tauruses.
In terms of, like, compatibility, yeah, let's say.
For Tauruses, the best matches are Virgo, Pisces, and then Scorpio, they say, is, like, a good match, but you have to work for it. So, clues you into what we're in for.
Ah.
On the opposite, are there any signs that you're like, I'm avoiding that? I'm not going to wait to see if they're a good person. I just know that I won't do well with that type of personality.
Gemini, Leo.
Yes. Yes. The Leo for you. Although, like, you love Rafa, but do you think it's because she's a girl that it makes it easier to get along with her?
Oh, yeah. Makes it easier.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
Man. I definitely get along with, like, the Virgos and Scorpios because of they're so, like, observation, therefore I know the truth, so I like that type of people. But I tend to not get along well with Aries. Even though I have a lot of friends who are Aries, we're kind of like the almost like more like bickering sisters, I would say, including my male Aries out there. We're also still bickering sisters. and then Cancers, I don't really get along with. There's always been like a bit of a distance between us. Like, we can't quite get to, like, the close friendship stage.
This can turn into, like, talking about, like, every sign, negative aspect of every sign. But for the Cancer, like, generally speaking, they're, like, more emotional. And I, on that, like, emotional level, I get them. But they can be very passive-aggressive and very passive.
Yeah.
But that's, like, passive-aggressive. They can... that, like, emotional manipulation. They're, like, very good with that. So, I just, like... And, like I said, I know that, like... Aquarius is I met like few in my life. I never get like also I was never a friend with Aquarius, so that I can know that you know, we were like friends for like 5-6 months, whatever, a year, and then I know everything about them. I that's one of the signs that I skipped, but it doesn't work good with Scorpio, like theoretically speaking, or like what also with the Gemini. That's also like every horoscope or every astrology book will tell you that, because like Gemini are so fluent and so that doesn't work with like a kind of black and white nature of Scorpio, and probably like and for Leos, they're, for me personally, they're too boasty for my taste. Somebody likes that, I don't like that. So
Leo is the lion, so they're very... Well, I also... The reason why I don't mind Leos, though, is because... So, if you really look into, like, what the Leo is, it's that everything is centered around them. So, that means that they can both be extremely selfish or extremely selfless, because they're so focused on themselves. So, they're like... So, in an argument, let's say, they'll either be like, oh my god, I am so angry at you because I did all this. Or they'll be like, it's completely my fault, even if it's not, you know? So it's like, there's like two sides to that sign. So I can forgive them, even though most of the time you will come up with Leos who are a little bit more on the selfish side. But you mentioning the Gemini just reminded me about the... So every sign has a different quality. It's either... cardinal, fixed, or mutable, I guess is what it is. And so Gemini is a mutable sign, so that free flowing thing that you were describing, that makes sense, because that's a part of their sign, is like they say that they're almost like they follow the seasons. They're wishy-washy basically. And if you're a Scorpio, which is fixed, makes complete sense.
I saw a meme recently about Scorpio, like somebody's telling like, you're a very quiet person, like you keep to yourself, you don't talk a lot. I talk, I just don't talk to you. That's totally Scorpio.
So you got your natal chart professionally read by an actual astrologer versus... me,
yes.
Who just went on to cafeastrology.com and got my natal chart off of a website. How was that experience?
Interesting would be the word. Everybody should do it if they're like curious or interested in astrology or like what their natal chart says.
Yeah. So in a natal chart setting, what the astrologer is telling you is both characteristics about yourself and also the future of what can happen based on those characteristics about your personality, right?
Yeah. It's more unique or more focused on you. It's basically reading a natal chart because every house has a planet that is associated with it, right? And
sorry, every sign has a house.
Yes.
Associated with,
yeah. Just
I'm pretty sure.
Basically. it's reading more specifically about you, so every influence of every part of your or every planet on your chart or your houses, which is great. It's very specific, and I think that it's like interesting and interesting what they can,
yeah,
like, so, like, it's
how accurate it is.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's very like, whoa, okay.
Mm-hmm.
At least it was for me.
I even found that when I was doing it on the on Cafe Astrology, which is what a lot of people use. But what I was saying earlier, like with the houses, what makes it so complex is the chart is in a circle, and the amount of each slice that the house actually takes up is different depending on the astrologer, because some people believe in adding a different degree for each. So like maybe the one will be wider than the 12th house on the chart. So then certain planets will be in the house that if it was all equal around, it wouldn't be represented, if that makes sense. So some people believe in including like the degree of which the axis of the globe is, and other people are just more like every house is even. So we'll talk more specifically about the relationship between houses and each sign later in our episode. Do you even read daily horoscopes, or like how do you keep track of, well, I know you keep track with the Susan Miller posts, if you want to talk about that, but
mm-hmm.
Do you read like a daily horoscope?
No, stopped doing that long ago. Sometimes from her app, she has like also like a daily thing, but I don't really pay attention to that. I think that like astrology is regarded like to be a pseudoscience, which is like what says on Wikipedia, which I think it's a disgrace. But astrology get to that point like that people consider it to be like a mumbo jumbo, because the daily horoscopes are like really
exactly.
rubbish, especially in the newspaper, if anybody still reads newspaper, but used to be like whatever. So I stopped doing that. Like I think I'm reading like Susan Miller's daily horoscope, not daily, monthly horoscope, sorry, for like 8 years now, something like that.
Yeah, and that's on Astrology Zone.
Yes, yeah. And recently that Moon Omens website that they have also Instagram page,
mm-hmm.
they have like a good things about like Mercury retrograde, certain new moons and stuff. Like Susan Miller also has but like those kind of more in-depth explanation of things. Yeah, and like I said, yeah, monthly horoscope, mm-hmm. as you know.
yeah we both, I do love that. every month we both read our horoscopes, and then I started reading your horoscopes also. And I think, do you still do that for me?
Yes and no, sometimes, yeah.
If you want to know more.
Yeah, not like maybe in the beginning, but later of the month, I mean, yeah. A few months, yeah, I did read, especially if something happens, quotes, then I read like for the specific date.
My friend Cricket that I used to work with in Boston, I actually think she listens to this podcast, which is really
great.
Fun. But she really loves astrology. And I remember one time we were chatting about it, and she mentioned to me that the reason why she loves astrology so much is that it's what helps you communicate better with the people around you. So it's not
Absolutely.
Even about like as you were saying, like these stupid one day horoscopes, that's really an interpretation of an interpretation of an interpretation of a chart, which is an interpretation of the actual planets.
Yeah.
Instead, it's not about what your future is going to look like, but it's about understanding your personality and the personalities of those around you so that you can make better choices in your day.
Yeah.
So that things go well.
Oh, absolutely. And to avoid certain things. So my colleague and friend they used to work with, Nicola, he's actually listening to this podcast, but never mind.
So many listeners were referencing.
So in the firm where we were working, we were all kind of know what each person is in like regards to like what sign they are, so or he or she is. And then we were kind of behave ourselves in regards to that, which is what she also told you, that it's very useful. You just don't fight some fights, and you just avoid certain people. I don't get along with certain people, usually speaking.
Yeah.
So I mean, like with certain sun signs, right? Or like you also probably. What's your like biggest nemesis in terms of signs? Do you have like one that you don't really?
I mean, what did I mention? Cancers. I don't really have friends who are cancers, but I don't really nemesis. Honestly, you want to know what it is? If someone, I'm like pretty open to everybody, but if someone says they're an Aries right off the bat,
I wanted to say Aries.
I readjust the way I communicate with them.
Mm.
Just because, not because Aries are bad, but because I know that the reactions that I have towards Aries, you know, so Aries are known to be like fiery. So like they're like, you know, like a spark of like fun and stuff like that. And they also kind of go back and forth on their viewpoints really easily, but with a really strong attitude, which is for a lot of people what draws them in, why they really love Aries.
Yeah.
But for me as a Taurus, I'm so like rational, and I'm so like, if I believe in this one thing, I will believe in it until I die. Versus Aries are like, oh, if you convince me otherwise, I completely agree. You know?
Yeah,
and
yeah.
For me, on in certain situations, if I didn't know they were an Aries, I would be more judgmental.
Mm-hmm.
When it's almost like an excuse if I know that they're a Aries and I'm not as hard on them, and it's good for everybody.
Ah,
at the end of the day,
it's like your free from the jail card, right?
Exactly. It's like if I know you're an Aries, I can still be your friend because I know ahead of time you're an Aries. But if there's certain Aries aspects that you're like giving me when I first meet you, and I don't know you're an Aries, I might think that you're arrogant.
Mm.
But if I know you're an Aries, then I'm like, oh no, they're just like passionate, thoughtful, caring. I mean, because Aries are very emotional and, you know, they love to fight for the justice, kind of similar to Taurus. So.
Yeah, they're also one of the signs that I kind of skipped, or like, I met them here and there, but not really.
That being said, I do have a lot of Aries in my chart.
Oh, really?
Which is very hypocritical of me.
Yes.
Yeah, so sometimes just resigning to what the other person wants based on their sign, knowing that that's their personality, it ends up making the whole encounter not as hard as you expected. You just have to be the person to sacrifice, unfortunately.
Yeah, personalities also vary, so it's kind of fine, you know.
Yeah.
So.
So Alex and I both use this app called CoStar, which we'll link into our description, so you can feel free to download the app if you want, which basically what it does is it produces a natal chart for you that's very basic, but it kind of does the job. And then what it does is you can kind of compare your chart to other people's charts that you're friends with. It's like a social media app. And by doing so, you can then go onto your friends' profiles, and what they'll do is they'll show your compatibility for the day and your compatibility overall. But I think it's so much fun to use, especially if you have roommates, if you're stuck in the pandemic. I think it's a great app to use because you can kind of tell, like, all right, somebody's got to clean the house. Is today a good day for me to bring this up with my roommate who's a Gemini, if I am a Taurus? Like, stuff like that. It's really helpful. As I was talking about earlier in the previous segment, we didn't really focus on houses, which are a big part of astrology. So what I did was I kind of went through, and based on the book that I mentioned at the beginning of the episode, where I basically went through and looked at each description of certain planets being in certain houses, and I just took some notes off of what was most interesting. So in our second house, we both have Pluto.
Mm.
But I thought it was interesting that we both have it, and that particular planet in that house means we master our insecurities and therefore gain lasting riches.
Interesting.
Yes. Also, what I found was really funny, in your fourth house, you have Neptune, which means that you want a dream home. I was like, that is so specific. Do you feel like that's true?
Not really. I don't know what the hell that's supposed to mean.
I don't know what I meant either. That's why I wrote it down. I was like, what is this? Oh, wait, no, I completely lied to you. Cut that.
Why? Why are you lying to me? So, are you a Gemini?
So what I meant to say, what we both have in our third house, no, sorry, in our fourth house, we both have Uranus, right? We both have Uranus, yes, in our fourth, yes, house. What that means is that we both have changing home life.
This
segment's going really well so far. My notes are,
yes, it's great,
really easy to read. And then for you, some things that I noted that I thought were really interesting, was that in your sixth house, the fact that you have Mars and Jupiter means that you love work. And in your ninth house, you have the moon, which means that you're imaginative and supportive. You're imaginative, you're supportive, and you're extremely unrealistic. Which I was like...
fine.
I do think that you're very much like a positive thinking is going to get me where I need to be no matter what, which I think is a great characteristic to have.
So did you find out that from the reading of that or actually knowing me?
I know. Yeah, right. So I use this the secret language of astrology book, which has a whole area where you can basically look at your own natal chart and interpret it. So I interpreted our charts in a very cheap way by just looking at, not making the natal chart, but just looking it up online. One last one, and then I'll leave us to a discussion. Your sun and Mercury are in your third house, which reveals that you have naive curiosity and a love for learning. Which I do think is very true about you. You love that stuff. Anyways, I'm sure all of that was very uninteresting to the listeners because I was stumbling along, but it opens up conversation for us.
So that astrologist told me that the reason why I'm all over the place with like interests because my Mars is in Aquarius. So
Mars is your passion.
Yeah. And also that house that you were mentioning. So I have Moon in Taurus in ninth house.
Yeah.
Suggest that I have like that aspect to live abroad and that I don't feel that I'm home here and that I'm like to travel and like to live other than in my home country and that I don't feel like a stranger like foreign countries. Which was I was like, oh yeah, okay, that makes sense.
That's so cool. That you actually got your natal chart made by somebody. And just how accurate it is. We both have friends in India. And in India, astrology really is covered over the way of living. Your entire lifestyle is surrounding astrology. I mean, depending on where you're from and your specific belief system, religion. But like, I remember Rakesh telling me that like, if somebody dies, the way that they are buried is based on their time of death, what time in the day is good for you personally, when that person died and your relationship to them. And it also do with like your planetary signs, and it's very complex. So then the way that that person is, the funeral ceremony is based off of who's available, because some people will not go to the memorial or funeral because it's a bad time for them to go astrologically. It's crazy how much your life is completely surrounded by that. And it's really cool. I wish that more cultures embraced that. And I feel like with Western civilization kind of encroaching and capitalism encroaching on, you know, culture, I feel like a lot of that gets lost.
Well, it did get lost, but that's another topic. Ancient civilizations were like more into astrology, and that's one of the reasons like the the pagans were when Christianity was like were going like into Europe, and basically the pagan rituals were like put aside because of the Christianity. It was forbidden to worship astrology or to know astrology and to teach astrology.
Yeah.
So that was like considered sacrilege by Catholic Church. So that's one of the reasons why we lost all of those
traditions
or like teachings. But India obviously didn't. That's why now it's regarded pseudoscience. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
Apparently.
Mm. Here's the thing. There's nothing wrong with it ruling your life. To me, I always say this to people. It's so mathematic. Why wouldn't you believe in it? It's been around forever. Why wouldn't you use it as a tool for living a healthy and emotional life? A very mindful life.
I mean, and that's my like one of my biggest points. Every planet has some kind of energy, and we are also energetic beings. So, and if you consider yourself part of the universe, I don't see why you wouldn't then accept that other parts of the universe that you should be in tune with have influence over you.
Yeah, why shouldn't you assume that if the rest of the world has energy, that you don't have energy as well?
Yeah, especially...
What did I say, the world? Why yeah. should you assume that the rest of the universe... Did I say universe? I don't remember.
Yeah, universe, yeah, I think so. Thanks for tuning in. We have a lot to talk about in our next episode. Don't forget to follow us on Instagram @wehavealottotalkaboutpodcast. Until next time, ta-da!